How true.
How true.
Anyway, let's on to other things.
You can tell it's Saturday. We're completely out of gear here.
Yep.
We're just coasting.
Which is pretty much like the other 5 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, joining us is Mr. Sam Bosfield of Samson Switchblade, who's quietly creating quite a stir.
I've noticed that. I walked by their place last night. And
did you go in and look at it?
No, it was closed, but I heard people talking inside, and I figured I better keep going because they'll call security.
Yeah. Oh, that late, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going right along like mad. I'm so impressed with how fast you're moving.
Yeah, we've made some great progress the last probably 4 months mostly, but we kind of hit a gate slow point there where we had to redesign the tube frame in the back. As soon as that was cleared off, boy, we just surged ahead.
And so now you've got a prototype on wheels, on wings, tail, everything, propeller, cup holders, almost ready to go.
Yes, and it looks cool.
It looks sexy. I got to give it that. I was trying to debate what kind of a paint job to put on. It's got all sorts of lines and... You know, it's not like the boxy trike motorcycles you see out there. This thing is sleek.
Oh, I like sleek.
Of course, it also flies, but beside the point.
You know, to complement the aerodynamics, it's got to kind of be sleek. You know, you can't just get a barn to fly.
Yeah, you can. Just put a bigger engine.
Well, this isn't going to work with a bigger engine, though.
Anyway, you guys, I mean, you've done extensive ground testing of the road vehicle, so you know a lot about that.
Yeah.
You've done modeling and wind tunnel. How you're getting ready for first flight?
Yeah, it's getting ready for first flight. The wind tunnel gets you within 3%, so we did over 130 tests. We know pretty closely how it'll go. That last little bit, you can't get elevation, you know, your height off the ground. You can't get how the controls feel, so we're looking forward to that in flight testing.
Oh boy, where are you going to flight test it?
Somewhere with a really long runway.
Like Edwards?
We'll find out. There's two places we're looking at. We like to have a private one if we can. I just want the guys to focus on what they're doing.
Right.
And so we'll just have them focus, do that. No pressure from any investors or anybody else. Just do your job.
Edwards is perfect because from what I understand, there's just nothing else to do out there.
Okay. Well, there you go.
If they'll let you, you know?
Yeah.
I've been following you on the email chain.
Yeah.
And I've been thoroughly impressed with the degree of detail and engineering and testing you've been doing along the way. It's not just like, well, let's throw something together and see what happens.
Yeah, we do. All of our design, engineering-wise, is done to Part 23 standards. And then we also test to that and document it, even though we're not a certified aircraft. We're, of course, experimental. But that way we can sleep at night and we have a guideline to follow so that we know in the end we'll have a good, safe vehicle. That's the goal there.
Okay. Just for people who aren't familiar, why don't you describe your vehicle?
Sure. It is something that you can take from your garage, drive it to the airport, swing the wings out, the tail comes out and locks in place, and you can fly it off to wherever the closest airport or landing spot is that you want to get to, and then fold the wings back in and continue driving so you're not subject to, is there an airport car there? Is it working? You know, those kinds of things. Would I want to be seen in it?
Yeah. Especially that.
So it's something like that. And then if you're going cross country and you hit weather that you're not quite certain of, or maybe it doesn't look as good as the weather report said, you can just drop down to an airport that's before the weather, drive out underneath the weather, and then take off again on the other side.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
You built your own engine, or it's a modified engine, or what?
We take an engine and then heavily modify it because for aircraft use, it has to be, you know, it has to meet certain requirements. It has to have dual almost everything, of course. So we take a base engine that's like the front half of a Corvette. It's very lightweight, built really strongly, and then we do some internal stiffening and replace the pistons so that's correct for a turbo. And we turbocharge it because the engine, we want it to last a long time. You have to reduce the RPMs to do that. So we turbocharge it to bring the RPMs down.
Okay. So it's based on half of a Chevy small block, something like that?
Yeah, it's like an LS1 engine.
Or an LS.5.
LS.
Oh, that's bad.
He's not asleep. We thought so, but he's not.
That's right.
We were wishing, though.
Well, that's an ambitious path because engine development is not something you do lightly.
No, we started with a very tested engine, very proven engine, and one that was designed to be used in different applications, and then took it and tweaked it for the application that we need it to be. So for us, it was mostly adding in dual computers, dual fuel injection systems, dual fuel pumps, and the related things that that allow that to happen.
Okay. I heard you saying something in the booth the other day that on a takeoff roll, you can actually power the wheels to shorten the run.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting concept.
Well, it allowed us to do two things, one of which is to accelerate more quickly, because you can accelerate with the wheels more quickly. And so you can get up to takeoff speed in roughly about 7 seconds. That leaves you a lot of runway in front. So if you did take off and there was something going on that you didn't quite like, you could still have a lot of runway to drop back down and hit the brakes and go off. But the other thing is we pitch the prop. It's a fixed pitch prop, and we can pitch the prop just for high speed and use the wheels to get you 0 to 60 miles an hour. That way, you know, you don't have to worry about a slow takeoff because your prop is fixed and pitched at a certain pitch.
Right. That's interesting.
I was going to say, do you have any plans in the future to put a controllable pitch propeller on other than ground adjustable?
We do have the option to do an electric five-blade prop. So it's a five-blade adjustable pitch prop, but it adds about 18 pounds. So we didn't really want to do that. If we can do it with the wheels, we don't have to add any weight and we get the same benefit.
It's kind of like a free benefit there.
Yeah. What about grass strips? Can you fly off of grass with this thing?
You could fly and land on anything you could drive on about 77 miles an hour. So you have to think with,
yeah,
you're going fast.
Yeah.
And that would mean that a gravel strip might be a little dicey.
Now, might be.
Can we do the James Bond thing, like the bad guys are chasing us down the highway? We just press the little red button and the wings go boink and then we fly away?
You can if you like to turtle your aircraft. When the wings swing out, they're producing lift, but they're not until they're all the way out and locked, they're not connected to the pilot.
Oh.
So you've got lift and no control. So
wow, what fun.
That would be exciting.
For a short period of
time.
You
know, that would sure end the James Bond movie right there.
Darn. Well, maybe, what about rocket pods? Can we put rocket pods on it?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let's get serious here.
Yeah, okay.
I want vertical takeoff. Oh, how's the interest been?
It's been phenomenal. I think because we have the full vehicle there and people can see the whole concept, we've had, we just topped 730 reservations. Reservation
line
is up to 730
now.
That's
incredible.
And for the show, I think it's 70. I think we had 70 for the show so far.
Wow. Wow.
Your demonstrator over in your tent there, are you showing how the wings deploy and retract back into the car, or?
You know, we did that last year, and this year we're focusing more on the overall image of the vehicle. So we aren't operating the wings or the tail in the booth this year. Last year we swung it all day long, every day, and I think on the actuator that was used, we put 3.5 years worth of time on it.
Wow. Well, that's a good test.
Yeah, it was a good test.
Enough you can check for wear in the gears and such.
Right.
And of course it came out perfect.
It didn't fail at all.
Well, that's, as opposed to the turntable they were trying to run on.
Oh, man, that thing failed. That gave us fits.
Well, it wasn't designed for a flying car.
No, but it was. You'd think a motor would last for a week, and it didn't. Broke a shaft is what it did.
Wow.
Broke one of the shafts.
What's the total weight of the vehicle?
Right now it's max gross 1750, and empty weight is about 1205.
So you got about 500 pounds.
Yeah, 500. Useful. Yeah, 544, I think. That gives us about, I think our fuel capacity is right at 32 gallons. We're looking to do a 100-pound weight increase. We redesigned the hinge beams so that it would be strong enough to do that. We're going to test this prototype at 1750 and then go ahead and fly it. And then the second wing we build for the second prototype, we'll build it to match the extra 100-pound weight limit and then test that to 1850.
Now, what kind of pilot are you designing to? I mean, the ex-military jet guy who can fly anything, or the one weekend a year home guy that's got 3 hours in a Cub?
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. But definitely, I think this will be a really simple and easy plane to fly. For one, it takes off like a B-52. You set it up for flight, you put in one notch of flaps, 10 degrees down, and then you just goose it. You roll down the runway on your wheels, and it takes off as soon as it's ready. And until then, it doesn't take off. You can't over-rotate. You can't do anything about that. It takes off and flies off the runway. Then when you land, because the rear wheels are so aft of the center of lift and center of gravity, when you touch down, the nose goes over. You can't hold
you
it up.
You can't hold it off.
Not like a regular tri-gear. And so you're instantly driving. And so that's why we made the control wheel always connected to the front wheel. You're driving, you're flying and driving at the same time. So in the air, you're moving your ailerons, the front wheel is wiggling. But the deal is, we found in X-Plane that you can actually land it like 10 knots or 15 knots even, actually above stall speed. So you never have to actually get near stall on your landings. Just grease it on the runway and hit the brakes, because you've got three automotive-sized disc brakes and tires. They stop you instantly. So I think that's going to be a really, really safe plane.
That's intriguing.
One of the interesting comparisons there, and this is the first time I've ever heard of this, you talk to people about airplanes and they say, well, it either flies like a jumbo jet or a Piper Cub. Now you've got one that flies like a B-52. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
A single-seat B-52,
yes,
yeah.
It flies like a B-52. What?
Yeah. It even has bomb bay doors where the wings come in and out.
Wow. I was thinking a B-52 was a bad analogy because, I mean, what's their runway run? About 6,000 feet before they get off the ground.
And, of course, they've got 8 engines on there, and this one only has one.
Well, you only need about 1,100 feet to take off with this switchblade.
Well, that's pretty good.
That is good. And that's a
considering they're narrow wings. They're not a wide chord wing.
Right.
They're little skinny things.
Yeah, it's a high speed wing.
Right, right.
Nice. All laminar flow and flowers painted on it. Oh.
No flowers. No flowers. Unless that's what you want. But
that's the girl edition,
that's
right?
That's extra.
Yeah. Okay, extra. No extra charge. Okay. I want to say one thing. We redesigned the propeller. Do we have time? We redesigned the propeller about 3 months ago. Sterner did a great job on the prop, but we got into the 2-to-1 gear reduction from the propeller to the motor to reduce the RPM of the propeller. And it ended up that because of the harmonic issues that we had to deal with in the gears, you always have to look at that, we had to shrink it down so it wasn't turning as fast as we anticipated when we designed the prop. So we went back to Trek Aerospace, asked them to redesign and see what's the pros and cons. He said that if we have to do this, we'll lose about 200 feet per minute in climb, but we'll also drop 30% on noise. And I went, wow, I'll take the noise drop.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining us and go on over to the Samson Switchblade building this year. It's out there somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.